Hey there, I am Jen LaBuzz, host of the Indie Author Podcast, a podcast where I introduce you to a new author and their book. Today we are going to spend some time with author Sharon Skinner. Sharon Skinner has written multiple published books in the fantasy, science fiction, poetry, and children's picture book genres, with influences ranging from Peter S. Beagle to Ursula K. Le Guin. Many styles in between, Sharon is an avid reader and regularly posts her readings on Goodreads. In addition to having nationally published articles, essays, and short stories, both fiction and nonfiction, she served for 8 years as the executive editor of Anthology Magazine, a small press literary magazine published in Mesa, Arizona. She serves as an Arizona State Library writer-in-residence for 3 years. She is an experienced workshop presenter and public speaker and has been a guest author and presenter at a variety of book festivals, writing conferences, and conventions. Welcome, Sharon.
Thanks for having me.
So the book we're going to talk about today is her title, Lost and Found. And before we begin, I'll share a quick blurb. In the smoke-covered, steam-powered city of Landlings, the filthy streets of the lower city are rife with criminals. It is a rough place where orphans and lost children are known as streeters, struggle to survive by banding together, forming rival crews. Gage dreams of earning passage to a better place, while Wind has a promise to keep the last one she ever made to her father. When their fellow streeters begin to disappear, Gage and Wind must put aside their long-standing rivalry and work together to rescue their mates from a crew of ruthless kidnapping smugglers. But can sworn enemies be trusted to do the right thing under pressure? So, Sharon, let's start with a little about you. Tell us how you came to find writing as a passion.
Well, I've been writing since I was a kid. I started writing stories and poetry and all sorts of oddball things more in the fourth grade than at any other point. I would fill pages and pages with heroes and dragons and aliens and whatever came to mind. And so I've been writing most of my life.
Love. And you've published a number of books prior to Lostens. Can you talk about those books and how they informed your writing and what would become Lostens?
So my first novel-length book was not my first published novel. I'd been published in short fiction and poetry for a number of years and had been enjoying that. And I was also doing a stint at open mics and poetry readings and even a little bit of slam poetry, for those of you who are familiar with slam poetry, which is competitive poetry. And I decided I wanted to take a creative writing class as an elective during my work toward earning my degree. And I took an elective as creative writing. And one of the options that we were given was to write the first chapter of a novel, which I had never done. And I spilled out a novel in about 8 weeks. I couldn't stop at a first chapter. And it was not a good novel. It was poorly written because I didn't understand the structure of it. But it had really wonderfully imaginative characters and a fun storyline. And I enjoyed doing it so much that I decided that that's all I wanted to do going forward. Was I wanted the bigger stage for my characters. I wanted to write novels. That's what I wanted to do. But it then required me to go in and actually formally study what it took to write a novel. So I did a lot of conferences, a lot of writers' conferences, a lot of webinars, and ultimately went and got my master's in creative writing, which is what taught me enough to be able to write another novel and then go back and fix that one later. And that ultimately became The Nellig Stones, which is a middle grade novel.
Cool. So for Lostens itself, how did this story come together?
So Lostens Found is one of those passion projects. For years, I wanted to do something that was in the realm of a Peter Pan type of story. I'd read some really interesting Peter Pan type novels, but Peter Pan was not in the public domain at that time, so permissions had to be granted and all of that. And but it niggled at me. It bothered me. So it wasn't something that I could embark upon at that point in time. But there was Peter and the Starcatchers, and there was Hook, which was, you know, the growing up and formation of Captain Hook. And there were, you know, there's just a bunch of these really lovely books that inspired me to want to write in that realm. So I kind of started thinking about, well, you know, it's going to come up in public domain in the next few years. So maybe I'll toy with this idea and see what I can come up with. And I did. I spent a lot of time thinking about it, as you do with those kinds of projects. And once it came up in public domain, I knew that I could go ahead and write forward and write the book.
So the writing in this is very character-driven. When readers engage with this book, can you share a character you think they should pay attention to other than Gage or Wind?
Clax. Clax is my favorite character. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want a clockwork fairy that has attitude? And Clax has attitude in spades and is just a fun character to write. And I just really think that if you're going to pay attention to a character in the book, that Clax is the one that I would recommend that you be hanging out with, because that's who I want to hang out with on a road trip.
Without giving away things, there was one part that I did not see coming. You know what that is. I don't want to tell the readers who have not read the book, but that part was really amazing, and I wish I had taken a picture of my face when I discovered that. I'm trying to think of who. Wind, honestly.
Yeah.
Surprised me, because near the beginning, I'm kind of wanting to not like her. I'm like, she's rude. And then closer towards middle, towards end, I'm like, she's not that bad. I like it. So she surprised me a lot.
Yeah, I wanted to have a solid arc for both of my characters. And I wanted that they worked from their deeper wounds, but had to overcome some of those misbeliefs and those behaviors that those deeper wounds drove them to. And so I really feel like I did a nice job with both Wind and Gage in enabling them to come face to face with the behaviors that no longer served them and have to overcome those.
So my question then is, your work with imagery in this book, especially the port and the shipyard. Oh, like I was smelling nasty things just reading it, just so you know. And it was great. Like, how did you like bring up all that imagery, whether it's the kids, where they live, their living situation when they go to the shipyard, the water, the condition of the water that they're going near? It's like, it was just, it like filled my senses when I read it.
So first of all, that's most of that part of it is how I is pulled from the Victorian period, mm-hmm. and the idea of the Oliver Twist kind of grungy, grimy living situation. And I've read a whole lot of historical fiction and nonfiction about that era, so I think that helped to inform how I described it. But the one thing that I always aim to do in my writing is to give you the setting through character lens and through that character emotion and how they view the world and how they're experiencing it, so that, because really the characters are the vehicle through which you experience the story, right? And once they're accessible to you, you're inside them, and then your brain becomes this, right? It just connects with them, and then you're on the journey with them. And so my goal when I write is to write in a way that you forget you're reading a book and you're on the journey with the character. And so everything they experience, I want it to be visceral. I want it to be emotional. I want it to be how they would experience it, so that you feel like you're right there with them. And that is just that's a craft technique that I've honed over the years. It's one of the things that I teach a lot and that I deal with a lot with the clients.